This is the Uplink Marketing Podcast. My name is Evan Chasteen, and this is a new season, not technically for the podcast, but for the business, for Uplink Marketing. Hudson Phillips, who was on this podcast whenever it first began as a friend of mine, is now a full-time employee. He is the creative director at Uplink Marketing, and we're so excited to have him. We recently hired another employee in April, Patrick Ashmead, who is the director of client success. And as a business, we are learning to grow. So the podcast is going to look a little different this year. We've got a lot going on, and I'm excited to introduce you to the team over the next couple episodes. This episode is a conversation with Hudson that we recorded a while back, I believe in January, right after he started. I hope you enjoy this conversation, and I look forward to sharing some time with Patrick on the podcast as well, and then kind of just sharing our journey as what I would call a startup now, taking on debt and looking to grow, looking to find systems and ways to find clients and serve those clients. We say we help businesses make money online and look good doing it. We've got podcasting, branding and design, and paid social media advertising services. So if you're interested in any of those, reach out, go to our website, uplinkmarketing.com. We'd be happy to help. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Hudson Phillips, the creative director at Uplink Marketing.
My name is Hudson Phillips, and I'm the creative director of Uplink Marketing, which is another difference. I had a different title last time.
You did, yeah. You were not doing anything with Uplink other than sitting down with me and talking on this podcast last time.
I was and still am a screenwriter, but in addition to that, we have now combined forces like Voltron or Power Rangers and are now one superpower.
What is Voltron?
Oh, you don't know Voltron?
I know Power Rangers for sure.
Voltron was a predecessor to Power Rangers. Also, it was like a bunch of like lion mechanical robots. It was a cartoon, and then they all come together to create one giant robot.
Cool.
I've done a lot of research about this lately because I've been wanting to write a movie kind of in that world. And so going back to, I think, maybe the 60s or 70s, there's like this long history of, in Japan, these mechanized robots, and then kind of turned into Power Rangers, and then into like stuff like, I don't know, Pacific Rim and all that today. Just giant robots fighting giant monsters.
I've never noticed the metaphor, even though I was familiar with Power Rangers, of the power of joining forces, the power of uniting, the power of you and I coming together are doing way more already. And this is January 28th, I believe, we're recording this. In 28 days, we've already done way more than either one of us could have done on our own.
You're killing it with the segues today. That was a good one.
Thanks.
But yeah, that's funny. Yeah, very much the same kind of vibe as that. It's like Captain Planet. Did you grow up watching Captain Planet at all?
Mm-mm. No.
That was another thing. With our powers combined, we are Captain Planet. They each had like a special power. When they came together, they were Captain Planet, which is a metaphor about saving the Earth and how when we're combined, we can do more there. But also, I mean, what's the concept of mastermind, right? That two brains you've got my brain, your brain, and then you have the mastermind brain. And when it's just me, it's just one brain. But when we're together, we're actually three brains. It's not just two brains.
One plus one does not equal two.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There's an exponential growth that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. So why did we start doing this?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've worked together in the past. I'm trying to make this fit. I'm going to do a different segue and then address the question because I've got something that I want to say.
Cool, do it.
If that's okay. So even whenever we did this last year or a year and a half ago, I didn't ever like the idea. You helped talk me into calling this the Uplink Marketing Podcast. Uh-huh. And I don't like the idea of it being a marketing podcast because marketing seems to have a negative connotation. And even for me, marketing has somewhat of a negative connotation because there's so many people doing things that just want to sell you something and not have relationship with you. So I think what I want to clarify from the beginning of this is that this podcast is meant to be about relationships, not selling anything.
Yeah.
And you and I can talk about our relationship in that. And then we're going to have other people on here and we talk with them about what they're doing. So this is not a podcast that's meant to sell you anything. It's meant to share stories with you. And if we can associate, the Story Brand has done a good job of this. I think there are other people associating marketing more with story, which I love your background with story as a screenwriter, than with sales. So if we can participate in this cultural paradigm shift where marketing is no longer the sales category, marketing is the storytelling category.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to clarify is it really, I believe this is 100% a marketing podcast. It's just redefining what marketing is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, marketing is, it's just figuring out who you are and communicating that clearly. It's true for you as a human being, but also for you as an organization. I think we often just think of marketing as an organization, and hopefully what we can uncover here is marketing is about figuring out who you are as a person and how people view you, how you're communicated, or how you communicate yourself to other people, which I think is really, I think the rule is the same for organizations and for people, which is it's about honesty and transparency.
Right. The lines are blurred for me whenever you say an organization and then you say people, the lines are blurred between those two because an organization doesn't exist without people. Like they're very one and the same. So if you're telling the story of an organization, you're telling the story of people. And that's another way that I want this podcast to be viewed. Uplink Marketing isn't a separate entity other from the people that work for Uplink and the people that Uplink works with. So we're telling stories here about people, and that is the organization of Uplink Marketing. They're very blurred lines between the two.
Well, I love that. I mean, I don't think you and I would be in marketing if we didn't believe that there was something deeper to that. And so for me, life, every bit of life is about bumping into other human beings, connecting with other people. I think you started this company in order to do that. And I think we kind of joined forces in order to do that. It is all about connection. And it's all about helping other organizations connect. As a writer, everything that I write is an attempt to connect with other people. Mm. Every time I'm on a film set, it's attempting to connect with other people that are making that film. If I write something, I'm attempting to connect with an audience eventually down the line. For an organization, all of your marketing communication is to help you connect with an audience. I wouldn't even say it's to help sell them something. It's just to help you to connect with them.
Right.
And either they're going to be on board with what you're offering or not. In the same way that it happens in relationships, I can meet you and connect with you, and I may not want to hang out with you ever again if there's not something deeper underneath.
Right.
And that's fine because we don't have to get along with everybody.
We can allow ourselves that freedom, that agency to not have to like everybody we come in contact with.
Yeah. Right. Or buy from every organization that we come in contact with.
Yep. So we definitely agree on a lot of these things, which is why we're working together. So let's take it from the abstract, talking about marketing being story. Tell me your story specifically. I think I don't even know where to go with that question because I think getting to know Uplink Marketing right now means getting to know Hudson Phillips and Evan Chastain.
Yeah.
So who is Hudson Phillips?
Yeah.
What is your story?
So my journey is one of, I don't know, I think the easiest way to put it is I've always been a storyteller from the time I was very young. Storytelling for me started as a way to escape reality. So having lost a father at a young age, I disappeared into comic books. I disappeared into movies. I started making my own stories, making my own comics, writing like my own screenplay when I was in middle school and just consuming books and just all that kind of stuff. It was escapism for me.
Hmm.
And then as I got older, it did become, I was also painfully shy and introverted and had a lot of social anxiety. And so life wasn't a whole lot about connecting with other people at that time because it was me and my imaginary worlds. And as I got older, it became very much more about connecting with people, finding a solid group of friends that I'm still buds with today, even from middle school.
What flip switched? Because you mentioned being shy, introverted, and you found these people in middle school at a time whenever it seems like you weren't seeking out those relationships, or did something cause you to seek out the connection with other people in the midst of this introversion and escaping into your own world?
It wasn't by choice. And it was a long process. I mean, like fifth grade, we had just moved to a new city. My dad had died 2 years before. And I'd show up for school every day crying and like not wanting to be around anyone. Like I would talk to my teacher and then not say a word to another classmate the whole day, really for about half a year. And then, you know, it's just being thrown into the same situation every day. At some point, you have to learn to adapt. And so I learned to adapt and made some close friends. It happened to be a small private school, so it was a little easier, I think. I think had it been a larger public school, I probably could have gone all the way through high school without connecting with another person, but kind of don't have the choice.
Right.
But during that period, writing kind of became my escape. Also because I did fine at school, but writing was the first thing where the teacher was like, oh, hey, come read this in front of the class, the kind of stuff.
Hmm.
And so that was a way to break out of my introversion a little bit and gave me confidence to kind of be, quote unquote, on a stage, which became part of my life, too. I really enjoyed speaking and teaching and playing music and all these other things throughout my life that I think started probably in that moment of, oh, I'm not good if I walk into a party and have to talk to people one-on-one, but I'm pretty good if I just stand on a stage and kind of, you know, can speak my mind. And I know a lot of people are kind of the opposite in that, or their anxiety translates to the stage as well, but it was something I was always very comfortable with, which probably this is a whole nother conversation, but there's probably something in the psyche there of going into a room of people, I don't feel like I have a platform, but when they're all staring at you, I have the right to talk or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Or I just, you're forced to not overthink it, or you don't have the choice to not talk. The pressure's on you. I don't know.
Right.
And this is all very, very long story. But ultimately, so I went from, I really found my tribe in high school also at a church. I started going to a small church where the youth group was like 8 kids. And so like I could really thrive there.
Right.
Because the smaller the environment, the more comfortable I'm in. And so I was in youth ministry for a number of years. And my pastor, where I was a youth pastor and an intern for a number of years, just was real into design programs. And so I would design flyers for church and stuff like that. And that's kind of how my first taste of design. And
do you have any of those first designs?
I found a flyer the other day I did for we had like a band come play at our church. I did that.
That's awesome. I want to see it.
Yeah. It was a fun experience for me to kind of fall in love with something else. So it was first ministry. Youth ministry was tough just because you, as a, you know, kind of empathetic person, you start to take responsibility for every action that a teenager makes, and teenagers make a lot of bad choices.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of crushed my soul a little bit too much to watch people make such bad decisions, which probably just made me a bad youth pastor actually. But got out of that, started doing design full time, kind of worked my way up working at print shops and really wherever I could. Like the first print shop I worked for, they weren't hiring for a designer. So I did customer service there. I did screen printing for a year, like random stuff. I mean, finally got a big break being a entry-level designer for John Maxwell's company.
That was a full-time position?
Full-time position.
Right.
And then I learned a ton there just about marketing clarity and marketing events for John Maxwell and kind of high-capacity design stuff. And then did freelance for a number of years. Once I got the writing bug, I rediscovered writing as an adult after a short stint at playing music, which was my creative outlet for a while, and writing songs and falling in love with that. And then rediscovered screenwriting in my mid to late 20s. And then so I thought, well, if I really want to do screenwriting, then I need to not have a full-time day job and just focus on writing. And so I did freelance for about 10 years there, design, and it was very draining on me. And what I found was, and this is all getting us to how we ended up working together too, but what was I lost my train of thought.
You did freelance for 10 years, which I would say is a long time for somebody to do freelance before freelance was cool. Like this was before Uber. This was
a long time ago.
This was before everybody was a freelancer. Like most people have some experience freelancing at this point in 2021. Yep. You were doing this before it was very common.
Yeah. And I was a single dad at the time. And so it gave me more time with my son, which was great being freelance like that. And we just kind of kept costs low. And it was very, I mean, it was one of the happiest times of my life, honestly, just in terms of raising my son and having a lot of freedom. The downside is that with freelance, there's just a lot of financial stress. There's a lot of stress of where's this next check going to come from, or having a bad month, or
volatility,
losing a client. Yeah. And so eventually that kind of overwhelmed me. And what I found was I was so stressed out about money all the time that I actually didn't spend that much time writing, because I just couldn't get there. I couldn't get into that space where I was comfortable. And so finally I had one client, which is a nonprofit that we both worked for, who asked me to come on full time with them. They were making up about half my freelance work anyways. I mean, I just figured it was time to try something different. And then what I found was once I had that regular paycheck, my writing went through the roof. All of a sudden, yeah. I had this peace. I knew where money was coming from. I didn't have to try to make the writing make money for me. And so it was a very productive time for me writing wise. But ultimately that environment at that nonprofit just was, it stopped being fulfilling. My role had changed there. The stuff that I really loved at the beginning kind of disappeared with some reshuffling.
Whenever I left is what I like to say.
Yeah, the timing is about right. But I think we both were feeling those pressures.
Yeah.
And then it became a couple of years of me just trying to figure out a way out of there. But, you know, comfort and stability is a very hard thing to step away from.
We've talked about that fairly often.
Yeah.
Which is a funny thing for two people to talk about starting a new adventure within a company. The company's not necessarily new, but there's a new phase, a new stage in the journey that Uplink Marketing is on.
New set of risks.
Yeah, new risks. There's some consistency that comes with that as well. We're taking calculated risks, but it's funny. So we have the stability within this that is like a new different kind of stability that's also not freelance.
Yep.
So anyways.
Yeah, there's, I mean, this back to the stability thing, I feel like one of my values is risk, and I'm very comfortable taking risks with my own life. But now that I'm like remarried and I have a kid who's about to go to college, and you have a new baby and one on the way. And so stability and risk take on very different meanings when all of a sudden you have to care for these other things in your life.
Yeah.
When I was single, I could take risks all day and didn't have a family and certain bills and things. But now that I do, it was very difficult for me to leave the comfort of that organization. Hmm. Which kind of brings us to today, which is, and I'm curious of your side of this too, because I think
this
is something
be fun.
That you've planned for a long time that finally came to fruition, but you finally offered me a combination of risk and stability of, oh, here's that perfect kind of storm that made it available for me to leave just 3 weeks ago, starting with you full time. And it was like a switch going off inside my brain and inside my soul of just, I could relax again, I could be comfortable, and I could
define comfortable there, because I think there are two types of comfortable.
Yeah.
So like there's this comfortable where you're not worrying about anything, or I ask this because I've almost got a negative view of comfortability.
Interesting.
But not in the sense of like safety. So safety is one version of comfortable to me, of like I feel safe and comfortable
which
to share with you
is,
here.
Because there is so much risk
at
what we're doing. But it's maybe peace is a better word.
Sure.
It's I'm just at peace of like, I think even the first official day of working together, I just got home and I just kind of sighed and I felt relaxed, which I hadn't felt in a long time, even though I was probably less busy with less pressure on me at the previous job. But there's something about, it goes back to the soul points thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of I can do an easy, lazy job all day, but it's not going to fulfill my soul. And there's something about having peace is not the absence of stress. It is the feeding of your soul.
I totally agree with that. And that's something I think we'll continue to explore as we journey, because we continually have our soul. It's difficult to put words to this stuff too. It's worth mentioning here. And it can get a little bit
fruity,
moving away from the head to using abstract words and ideas to describe stuff. And it can get fruity quickly.
Like soul points.
Yeah, but yeah. I think you and I have enough trust in our relationship that we can go to these places and use language and not marry ourselves to the words we're using, but see beyond those words to something that has a depth to it. So whenever we say soul, there's something speaking within And speaking is a metaphor there as well. It's not necessarily words that are being heard, but there's a drawing is kind of like some a magnet pulling something else is almost what I picture in my head, or I almost even feel it in my chest when I talk about it. Yeah. I feel this magnet like tugging at me in a direction, and I know that that's the direction. So there you can try to put words to why that's the direction or why these other directions aren't the direction. But I think there's like a heart knowledge that whenever it's pointed in the same direction as that magnet, it can be drawn. So I'm speaking very abstract here, but yeah. But we've had these conversations before, and we talk about it still often, like, okay, now where are we? Where is that magnet? Now where, what are we wanting to do? What do we want, and what's that journey look like?
Yeah.
So, and there's a couple more practical. I'm going to jump back to some practical things. Creative director is your job title at Uplink Marketing. What does that mean to you?
Creative director for me is kind of what we were talking about, our description of marketing. For me, it's helping organizations find their voice and magnifying that voice. So it's getting to know somebody and helping them to define their why they're in business, what they really care about, what their perfect relationship with a client looks like, and then just tying into that and magnifying that and making sure that every touch point with that client, or I'm sorry, every touch point with that organization is speaking the same language, whether that be a logo or a web page or a podcast or whatever else. I think that's maybe the most succinct way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know that I've asked you that question yet, but I love that.
Yeah, you should probably know that about
me. That, I love that definition of it. And even going through your contract this past week, I think some of the things that are in there are represented in what you've said, it, without us even having the conversation of what does a creative director mean to you. Yeah. But you're doing that not just with our clients, you're doing that with Uplink Marketing as well.
Right.
Which is really fun for me to see and for me to be a part of it happening with our organization, because it excites me for what we're able to do with others as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think to compliment you real quick, I think Uplink Marketing in your mind isn't always super defined. And I mean that as a compliment, in that you are open to letting it define itself and letting your coworkers kind of define that. And what are we, as opposed to what is it, and let's move towards it, which I think is a really cool, open-minded attitude to have that you don't see from a lot of CEOs, I think, because you normally you would feel like your job is to know that thing backwards and forwards and then to wrap everybody around that. I mean, that's kind of what a leader is, right? Is you're moving everybody in a direction. And I love that you're taking the time to say, no, let's figure out what that direction is first. Let's figure out what that direction wants to be, which is kind of like that string out of your chest thing that you're talking about, but for a whole organization.
Right. Well, I would hope that my role, and I don't know how to do this yet, creating it or flowing with it as it happens, is one of, hey, Hudson, what do you want to do? What are you here for? Where is this string in your heart pulling you towards? And how can Uplink Marketing help you get there?
Yeah.
And that's a part of our conversations even leading up to January, was the script writing thing is huge for you. And so Uplink exists to help our clients achieve their goals, and Uplink exists to help our employees achieve their goals. Like, that to me, those are the two purposes of Uplink Marketing at the highest level. If our employees, and I'm saying our because I it's currently just me and you, but I see this growing this year, and it'll be fun to see where it goes from here. And so our employees, Uplink Marketing employees, learning who they are and where they're going on this journey, I think is one of the best ways to actually help clients do the same thing too. So that they work so well together.
For sure.
They're one and the same. As we journey and as we learn to journey, then this organization exists to help other organizations journey and learn to journey. And they just kind of happen simultaneously.
Yeah. It goes back to values for me. We're kind of talking about how like risk is one of my values. I'm very comfortable with that. But I think you can start to put practical language to the soul point thing and to the pulling at the heart thing and make it a lot more kind of concrete is this idea behind values. And so there's actually an exercise I walk my writers through with Scriptblast, the organization I do that helps screenwriters kind of achieve their goals, is figuring out what your values are and doing more of those things of, you know, what are the things looking back over your life? What are the experiences where that you felt most whole, that you felt like you were most at peace, that you were most excited and driven, and really nailing those down and then doing more of those things. And so that's very much what we do for organizations as well. What are the values of this organization? What are the things driving this organization and us doing it for ourselves right now? That we actually did this exercise, you and I and a freelancer, where we walked through, what are all our values? What are our personal values?
Right.
Where do they cross over? How is that a value for our company as well?
Mm-hmm.
That I think that meeting gave us a ton of clarity of what direction to go to, because we were open to serving people first.
Right. And the clarity you mentioned there seems to go hand in hand with the piece you mentioned earlier. For me, as things become more clear and followed, so things can become more clear, but if I'm not heading that direction, then the tension or the lack of peace is going to continue to exist.
Mm.
But as things become more clear, and that's actually the direction that whatever word to describe the organization or me personally, my family, me and my wife, whatever word would describe that, if we're headed the direction and we have clarity of where we're going, it seems to lead to really cool places. And those are very practical terms to put to the metaphysical yeah. language we were using earlier. So I really like that.
Love it.
As a part of this podcast this year, I've had this phrase in my mind that I can't get rid of. And it's stay curious and stay connected. And I want to end every podcast encouraging anybody who's listening to this to stay curious and stay connected. And that's the goal of this podcast this year, is to approach topics and people and organizations with curiosity. And in doing so, finding connections and finding value in connections. So stay curious, stay connected. Does that mean anything to you?
It's just listening to you talk about it. The idea that popped into my head is curiosity leads to connection.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the before and after picture, stay curious, stay connected. If your goal is to stay connected, it starts with curiosity. And I think curiosity is defined, I think, by not knowing the answer, which is a very uncomfortable place for a lot of people to be, especially in our kind of tumultuous times that we're in right now, because we're so defined by our tribes and so defined by our knowledge and what we know is truth. So I love the idea of curiosity is, hey, I don't know, I'm going to explore, I'm going to find out. And
right.
that the goal of that exploring is to connect with other people who are on that journey. And I think it's a really beautiful idea and something that I personally need to keep at the forefront of my mind at all times as well.
I like the phrase that you came up with there, curiosity leads to connection. Would you mind ending the podcast the way that I'm going to ask everybody to end this podcast, which is by saying, stay curious, stay connected.
Stay curious, stay connected. Bing.
Thanks again for listening to the Uplink Marketing Podcast. Visit our website, uplinkmarketing.com, to get in touch with us. We would love to help you make more money online and look good doing it.